Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 to 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 to 58. Today's title is What is the Secret of Victory? What is the secret of victory? I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 to 58. But thanks to be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. This is the word of God. It is the last Lord's Day of 2024. As we look back on this year, do we not find our heart to be filled with regret rather than joy and gratitude? Did we not all start this year with the determination in our heart to do much that it is pleasing to the Father, according to the will of the Father, before God the Father? Have we offered to the fathers much of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of faith that leads to holiness that God desires? Are you ending the year with regret and frustration just like any other year because our faith life is not victorious because we have lost the spiritual battle with the Satan who can pull us away from God at any time and keep us from doing what God wants us to do. As God shows His patience and grants us the year 2025 to extend His mercy, this new year should be one where we no longer lose in the battle against the enemy, but instead achieve victory, bringing joy to our Father. With this in mind, I stand here today with the passage and the title for this message. Amen. Faith is a battle against Satan. What is the secret to winning this battle against the Satan? There is a book called Sun Tzu's Art of War. Among the many secrets to victory, it says, know your opponent. Fight him 100 times and win 100 times over. What is the weapon that Satan used to fight us? It is a weapon called temptations. Even since Adam succumbed to the temptation of the serpent and lost the battle of the world, Satan has been using this powerful weapon of temptation against us without a single failure. As a result, to this day, temptation has not left anyone, neither the have nor the have, nor the lowly nor the highly precious. Dear saints, what kind of persons does God delight in and desire? He is most pleased with and loves those who, when tempted, overcome it through faith in Him. The way to overcome temptation is, first and foremost, through prayer. Although the Lord is clearly God, He constantly prayed to the Father while on this earth. You can find out in Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 40, as He came out and proceeded as was His custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed Him. And verse 40, and when He arrived at the place, He said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptations. And secondly, He said that we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, according to the Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, which means that we must live by every word, realizing that if we do not live by the word, we die. Even though the word of God remains in your heart as faith, temptations will constantly come. However, I hope you will believe that through the word you can overcome any temptation with authority, power, and faith. Since the fall of Adam and Eve until the Lord's second coming, Satan through temptation is relentlessly roaming like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, as the Bible testifies to us. You can find out at the Matthew 24, verse 24, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. I like to read Matthew 24, verse 24. The false Christ and the false prophet will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect about us. I like to continue 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering and are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Who are the devourers here? Those who are not awake and alert, those who are not of the spirit, but of the flesh. Even if they are of the spirit, if they do not stand firm in the face, they will fall and become food for Satan. Therefore, may you once again realize how precious and valuable the message given us today is. With a clear sense of calling as believers, may you devote yourself wholeheartedly to your God-given mission, serving faithfully and diligently. Amen. May you experience the blessed work of being transformed and taken up just like Enoch and Elijah, without dying in the both body and the spirit. I pray that such a blessing will be upon your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, too, was tempted by Satan, and he was tempted three times. Let's look at the first temptations. You can find that at the Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, and Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. At the beginning of the Lord's public life, there were three temptations or tests from the devil. He was victorious, but these temptations apply to us as well. Until we are well established in our faith, filled with the Word, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the grace, and filled with the faith, our adversary, Satan, will constantly shake our faith with tests and temptations. In the end, we will triumph in the fullness of all things, but until we defeat the temptation, the struggle is unspeakable. It is possible to make a decisive break from the Satan's temptations for oneself, but when the temptation attacks our children or family members, it becomes very difficult to make the same decisions. However, even though we may overcome through the word and faith, it does not end there. If Satan were to retreat forever after the first trial, that would be ideal. But in reality, he keeps watching for another opportunity to come back and try to regain control of our heart. After the devil tempted Jesus three times, you see that in the Luke chapter 4, 13, the scripture said, when the devil had finished every temptation, this is three times, he departed from him until an opportune time. So departing for a while means I will come again. So we must not forget that Satan's temptation follows us like a shadow. while we are here on earth until we go to the kingdom of God. If we do not know this, we become arrogant. And when he comes again, he gives no notice. It may come in your dream as you sleep at night. It may come through your family. It may come through your business. It may come through your friends. It may come through everything. It can come through the person you trust the most. So until we get to heaven, we must never forget that the tempter is out there, circling around us, looking for an opportunity to take advantage of us. When the mind is not of a spirit, when the carnal mind enters in the moment, the devil enters in the moment. When the tempter enters in this way, he confuses our mind and he makes our faith wither and waver, saying, it is no use believing in Jesus. So that's why the Lord warned us, keep the gaps in your heart closed with faith. Let's look at the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Do not give the devil an opportunity. There is a saying in our proverb, through a needle's eye, the wings of an ox can enter. This means that if there is a crack or opening in the heart, it becomes an opportunity for Satan to take advantage. What good is it if you believe for a long time? If there's already an opening, the wind was already entered. There must be no gaps or openings. For a little while, I will be gone. This is something we must not forget. Isn't it a praise that leaves an impression, saying, I will not go far or forever, I will come to you soon. We must discern whether our mind is set on the things of the spirit or the things of the flesh. So Romans chapter 8 verse 6 clearly talked to us, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Amen. Therefore, even after believing in Jesus, even after receiving grace, the minds of the spirit should always dominate my mind, leaving no room for temptation in my home, personal life, or business. The schemes of the devil are truly terrifying. Since he cannot go to hell alone, he targets those who believe, and as much as possible, he tries to sow unbelief in their heart. He prevents them from holding on to their faith, making them speak ill of others, and cause them to think negatively about everything. We must never rely on or trust in peoples. All of my desires are temptations. We must not forget that the result of desire is temptation. It tricks my heart, confuses my mind, and leads me down the wrong, simple path, filling my heart with a godless mindset. A heart without God is an evil heart, one that is centered on oneself. It means living without concern for others. Whether they live or die doesn't matter. All that matters is that I am clean, that I eat and I gather for myself. These are evil thoughts. Let's look at the Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. For the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. You can find the Romans chapter 8, verse 7. They speak ill of the church with the lies. They gossip about it to justify themselves. What's the use of going to that church? I used to be jealous. It is not worth it. These are the works of the devil. Poor souls indeed. When you look at the life of Jesus from the time of his birth to his ascension, temptation never left him. Even though he was the Son of God, Jesus the greater, creator himself. So what about us as a creatures? We have to realize that no matter how much we believe, we are bound to lose to Satan. That is why the way to heaven is not a broad road, but a narrow road, a road of suffering, a road of thorn, a road of pursuit, or a road that is not recognized by others, a road that is an enmity. The way of faith in Jesus, the way of faith in the Father, is a lonely way. So Jesus confessed himself in the Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. The Jesus said to him, the fox have holes and the birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Wherever we go in this world, there is unbelief. Wherever we go, there is testing. Wherever we go, there is temptations. A little one away means that our dreaded enemies will return, and shouldn't we be ready? But we know this and we don't pray. We don't study the Bible. We get lazy and make excuse not to be present where the word is proclaimed. Do not forget this one thing. The devil is truly relentless. If we understand this, shouldn't we also be relentless is out in our face? If the devil is relentless, we must not become slack, not reading the Bible for a day, not praying, and not realize that these are sins is a serious problem. Think about that. Does prayer cost money? Shouldn't we take our physical problem, our sickness, our family problems, our business problem, and everything else to God? Why do people leave the church? Because they can't stand firm in the faith and are defeated by Satan. They have been swallowed up by the devil themselves. But when we contend in the faith to the end, the Lord does not stand idly by. Let's look at the 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Amen. Do not forget that when I have long thought of the flesh or an unclean heart, the tempter will surely come. This is not right. Lord, I have lived according to the flesh for a moment. Please forgive me and make me someone who, with the faith that please and desire you, will live a spiritual life without lacking in anything. Please pray. Therefore, it must be clear to me what my mind is thinking, the mind of the spirit or the mind of the flesh. The word think in the original Hebrew means is to wish, to desire, and to pursue. What are you wishing, desiring, and pursuing? You need to be mindful. Let's look at the second temptation and test. You can find that at the Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 24. After Jesus confirmed the way of the cross as the Messiah, he was tested by a more serious temptation when he made this prophecy to his beloved disciples. I'd like to read Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 24. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, go behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. As soon as Peter heard those words, verse 21, he spoke forcefully, what are you saying? They are the 12 disciples and the 70 others. Aren't there? Who would dare lay a hand on the Lord? Who would be the one to kill Jesus? You must never speak such words again. He was telling Jesus to believe in himself. If it were us in that situation, we would probably say, thank you, you are the only one who understands. But the Lord responded with the following words, get behind me, Satan, not to the front, not to the side, but behind. He was speaking of an eternal separation. Separation, isn't he saying, you have nothing to do with me. Peter is not Satan's. God has given him a name, and Peter cannot be Satan's. God never gives the title of Satan to anyone who loves him. If there is anything in Peter that is self-centered, self-regarding, that puts the will of man before the will of God, that is Satan's. That is what Jesus said. You are causing me to stumble. Anyone who loves parents, wife, wealth, honor, or anything else more than Jesus Christ cannot go the way of lost disciples. When I say this, I'm not saying don't honor your parents. I say put God above your parents, put God above your riches, put God above your honor, put God above the powers that be. Amen? We must understand that only the spiritual world, only the world of the world, and the only the will of God are the path of grace, the path of faith, the path of loving the Lord, and the path of fulfilling his ultimate purpose. Without knowing this purpose, saying, Lord, I wish to live according to your will, no matter what anyone says, I will love God, is meaningless. It is just one's own thought. How can there be any true love in that? To put one's own will ahead of God's will, to make one's will more important than God's will, this is what Satan is. Let's look at the third Jesus examination. So you can find out the Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46. On the brink of the cross, Jesus faced the greatest and most severe test of human experience, a struggle within himself, a struggle from his own heart. In the Matthew chapter 26, I like the few verses, the 37 and 38, 39 and 40. Okay, from the 37, I like to read. And he took him, Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Jesus was so close to death that he took only 3 of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, with him. What did he say when he was praying in the middle of the room, a stone threw away? John chapter 12, verse 27 says, my heart is troubled, agonized to death. Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptations. 3 times he said the same thing. As he was praying, he saw a billion demons attacking Jesus. Knowing this, shouldn't a disciple of the Lord use prayer as a shield to keep them from coming to him? Already, without the fight, the devil had trodden on the 9 disciples at the foot of the mountain and the 3 disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. The defense was broken. In the same way, since the fall of Adam, so many generations of humankind has not been able to resist temptations, and they have all been tempted. Even Jesus, our high priest and atoner, who came to take away human sin as a sacrifice, was at stake. But our Lord Jesus overcame Satan's foul, and Satan lifted up his hand, and Jesus sang victory song. And what was the secret of the victory? What was the content? Father, not my will, but yours being done. In verse 39. Amen. He prayed, entrusting everything to the Father. And at the moment, the Father said, you are my Son, as the Savior of all mankind, as the atoning sacrifice, you have prevailed. The Father sent his angels to assist him. How hard he worked, how much effort he put in. His sweat became like a drops of blood falling as though it were blood. This is a mark of having fought against the countless force of Satan. Who could understand the heart of Jesus, the inner agony he endures? We are the same now. After eating and being full, we say, Jesus died on the cross for humanity, for me, and we believe and speak comfortably. But aren't we speaking without the pain and the suffering of being pierced like a thorn in our heart? Think about it. If your parents or your child had died, you would have liked being completely devastated, unable to stand. Have we ever believed in Jesus to the point where we were so overwhelmed by agony that we felt like we were dying for him? Don't we lack even that kind of heart? When we feel good, we say, Lord, but when we feel bad, we say we won't go to church. Certainly Peter, James, and John followed him, but did they notice that he was astonished and sorrowful? But they were blind men who had been blinded. In the Mark chapter 14, verse 37, and he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Simon, are you asleep? This means, aren't you someone who shouldn't be sleeping? Didn't I tell you that I'm about to leave? Before I go, you must stay awake and hear every word of my final instruction, right? In the Mark chapter 14:41, the Jesus said, now is the time to rest. It is enough. He was saying, you are no longer need. It is over. Isn't the same thing happening today? If the disciples had stayed awake and pray, wouldn't the Lord have revealed all the mysteries of heaven to them? When you look with your eyes, you see disciples, but in the terms of their heart, there were no true disciples. The disciples were still caught up in worldly thought and concerns, weary in body, and until the moment Jesus was arrested, they didn't understand. In other words, they fell into temptations. Dear saints, do you know who the final tempter is in our lives? Don't be surprised. It is yourself. It is yourself. If you don't have a spiritual life, if you don't have a mind of the Spirit, if you don't have the mind of the Spirit, you are on tempter and you will fall. We need to guard our heart. In the Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 and 27, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And verse 7, 27, do not turn to the right nor to the left, turn your foot from evils. If the Lord had ended his prayer by saying, God, is it not possible for you to take away this dreadful bitter cup of the cross? Is it not possible for you to take away? We would have no hope of salvation. But Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. We must not forget that we have entrusted everything to God, and this is the secret of victory. Amen. Therefore, we must have a heart that trusts and relies on God alone. When we are firmly established in God and unshakable, we will not fall into temptation. The path of the cross is not easy. The most frightening thing is ourselves. I cannot even trust my own heart. And so, the Scripture said in the Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. The heart of Jesus is the heart of the overcome, is that overcome himself in the end, isn't it? Not my will, but your will be done. When we have the heart of Jesus, remember that we will ultimately be victorious until the very end. Amen. Let me conclude. Let's read together John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Please open your Bible. We'll read together. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have a tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Today, let us receive this message and engrave it on your heart and minds. Until we reach the kingdom, may we overcome all the tempters, those who try to make us stumble, and those who work hard to lead us to hell. As we resist these temptations, holding on to nothing but Jesus and his word, and learning only for the Lord, I believe that living miracles will happen. Amen.